Hello. What the heck am I doing here? It's a Friday. I know. Probably I should have been here on Wednesday, but I think some of us who attended prom needed a couple of extra days of rest. I'm here to give you just a tiny little intro, just a smidge of an intro into the very, very special night that we spent last Friday, March 11th, 2022, at Torrance High School in Torrance, California, aka Sunnydale High School. We gathered together, hundreds of us, to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You're going to hear from us. You're going to hear from Morgan and Latoya from Angel on Top. You're going to hear from Evan Ross Katz. You're going to hear from Joanna Robinson. It's a really, really, really beautiful time that we spent, and today is actually the last day that you can watch this show. It was on video on demand for 7 days, and today it will expire. So if listening is not enough for you, and you want to see the PowerPoint presentation we do at the end, or if you'd like to hear the live music that Jenny played, that's only available on the Moment House site. So to find that, you just go to momenthouse.com/bufferingthevampireslayer. Again, it expires at 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight, Friday night, March 18th. Over there, you can see us. You can see us on stage. You can see our faces. You can hear the 6 amazing songs that Jenny sang. You can also see that PowerPoint presentation. But don't worry, when we get to the PowerPoint, I've also linked a copy of that PowerPoint presentation in today's show notes. And you'll hear me pop in as a little voice of God. That's dramatic. But you know what I mean when we get to that point in the taping. 2 other things to tell you before we roll on into this very special show. You'll hear us speak with the wonderful Evan Ross Katz, whose book, Into Every Generation a Slayer is Born, How Buffy Staked Our Hearts, just came out this week. We are also going to be talking to Evan at length about the book. So please stay tuned, because in early April, you'll get a longer conversation with Evan. And again, the title of that book is Into Every Generation a Slayer is Born, How Buffy Staked Our Hearts. Evan Ross Katz, you should grab yourself a copy. The second thing is that today is also the last day to snag yourself exclusive prom merchandise. It is available only if you had a ticket to the event itself, or if you have a ticket to the Moment House show. If you're a ticket holder, you know that secret link to that store. Go on over there, because it's going to be gone tomorrow. And if you want to get that merch and you haven't yet, you can go on over to momenthouse.com/bufferingthevampireslayer. We've got t-shirts and crops and hoodies and pins, and they're all very special. And after tomorrow, they will no longer be available. We had the most wonderful time. We will thank everyone in episode, but my goodness, thank you all for joining with us virtually and in person. And I'm going to be quiet now and let you listen to the show. Jenny, do you want to do the thing you wanted to do? Jenny, okay, so hi! So, Jenny really wanted to have us run down the aisle and up the ramp. But let me show you. I'm wearing JNCOs. So I said no. However, without further ado, Jenny Owen Youngs! Hello! Wow. Have you ever, like, like had that feeling that you're sitting inside of Sunnydale fucking high school?
I'm having that feeling right now, actually. I'm also having the feeling that I just ran.
Yeah, you see? That's exactly what I was talking about. So this was the first look, was the jackets. But the real look, and you saw my JNCOs, but do you want to show the people what you're wearing for your 90s look? Jenny Owen Young's modeling carpenter jeans, a flannel, and a Nirvana Sliver t-shirt.
I had this shirt in high school, for real. And I was like, maybe I could source one, but now they are $900.
And I did not approve that on the budget item, as a budget item. I also would like to confess that I never actually wore a chain wallet. I know, I did a lot of other things. I smoked
a lot
of cigarettes, you know, I rode on my shell tops, but I put this outfit on and I was like, there's no way that this outfit can be complete without a chain. It's just not.
It looks very natural on you. It looks like you were born, you came out of the womb.
Yeah, well,
with a little chain attached to what? Nobody knows.
We were.
That's what gets you? You never know.
You never know with me. We were talking to one of our friends backstage, and she was like, every time your chain hits the like plastic school chair, I like am transported back. So we're here. We're doing something very special tonight, and I'm nervous. Are you nervous?
I am uncharacteristically nervous.
Well, we were talking about this backstage. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm so nervous, and then I realized it's because we're out of high school, and I had no whiskey at all. None. Whew. So I can really feel everything happening inside of my body. We have some special guests. I know you cheered for them already, but how excited are we to hear from our nemesises, first of all?
Yes. Not my nemesises.
I think that you are their nemesises if they say you are. Like,
I did not consent.
We'll discuss this when they come up to stage. I have a favor to ask of you as well, while it's on my mind. Actually, you wanted to say.
Yeah, I wanted to take control here because this is a technological issue and Pod Dad rules supreme over all tech, as you know. Please take your phones off the Wi-Fi if they're on the Wi-Fi. We are broadcasting.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. To a whole bunch of people who weren't able to be here in person, and we want to make sure that their feed is as crisp and clean as possible.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, yeah, also, hi, Mom.
And Dad. Okay. Yeah, so Morgan and LaToya are going to come up here. We have Evan Ross Katz here with us.
Very exciting.
It's not a big deal. He just wrote a fucking book about Buffy. Also, for those of you who ordered it and got it signed, these were like the first copies that Evan signed. And he signed them in Sunnydale High School, which is so fucking cool.
You're welcome.
And then we also have Joanna Robinson. I don't know if you've heard of her.
She's cool.
She's pretty cool. And we are taking you through this, and this is the other reason I think we're both a little more nervous than usual, is normally we have, you know, four acts of a television show, characters we know to move through, but tonight we are doing our favorite moments from inside of Sunnydale High School. So, yeah, so we had all of our guests pick their moment. We're going to show you the clips that they picked, and then we're going to talk. Fun, right?
Yeah.
The, like, eight of you who just need to woo after everything, you keep me alive.
Thank you.
I'm like, there are at least eight people who are still into me talking. Thank God. So that's the plan for the evening. And I'm going to say, and see, now you can't even do your mom is drunk chant because mom is, I know. I fucking know. But I'm just going to say thank you for being here, and this is definitely the most overwhelming experience we have ever had, ever. It is, I don't know, maybe some of you had tickets to go to the prom April 2020. Anybody? Yeah.
Alba, did you just raise your hand? Alba and Mac are here.
Hey! Wow, we could have met you at prom. The prom that never was, but it's been a couple of years in a lot of ways. And it is...
It's been a couple years in a lot of ways. Mostly just the one, but also maybe some others that we haven't yet explored. But perhaps we will this very eve. Kristen, can I ask you a question?
Please, Jenny.
I've been really wanting to know. We both have these Letterman jackets, which may or may not be enchanted. TBD.
I took mine off immediately.
I did not.
I wanted to ask, what did you letter in at Sunnydale High?
What do you mean?
Why do you have a varsity jacket? What are you participating in the varsity level?
Do you have a guess? Because I have an answer.
Are there varsity jackets for theater?
First of all, why don't you rewind the fucking tape and say that again and be
Sorry.
Nice to us theater
Ooh.
Kids?
Okay.
You didn't say it again.
Wow, I bet there's varsity jackets for theater. Oh, and then would you have the little masks on the jacket? Because you have the icon for...
Yeah, I mean, that is what I would literally have my letter for, but I had an answer for the sport I am most talented at.
Is it hacky sack? The year is 1999.
Yeah, no, it's devil sticks. you remember?
Yeah.
No, it was hula hooping.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if anybody brought a hula hoop, but I can prove this.
You should have brought a hula hoop.
I have a hula hoop
that comes apart for travel.
Listen, I've lived a long life, okay? My career has taken me many, many bizarre places. Jenny, what would your letter be for?
Well, yeah. It's like reading comic books. Marching band.
I could picture you. There you go. March. Were you in marching band in high
school?
For
one game, but
what happened?
The sousaphone was very heavy, and it was too painful to play, so I retired.
So you?
I had an injury.
Wait, but you learned to play the sousaphone.
Well, I already played the tuba in band. I'm actually very cool. Unlike some theater nerds I know. So the sousaphone is the same thing. It just wraps around you like a boa constrictor and drags you down to earth while you try to force incredible amounts of air through it.
And then you did actually get injured, or you were like, fuck this?
I was like, ow. My neck hurts.
Oh, there's something about these two pieces of hair that like just makes me feel like I'm in the bathroom at high school and I'm about to be like, you want to sneak out for a cigarette, you know? Please? Anybody? I know, is Stacy here? Stacy, there's probably 50 Stacys here. Stacy with the Dare fanny pack with the cigarettes? Yeah. We talked. We had a whole thing. I know where to find my cigarettes later. Okay. So we're here to talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I realized something, for those of you who are having so much fun already that you want to come immediately back the next time we do something here, which is that in 2 years, we could have the 25th high school reunion for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, because they all I don't know, that was it was really mixed out there.
Perhaps the crushing weight of mortality.
wait, maybe it was because everybody was doing...
Maybe they were doing hell math.
I'm getting better at these fucking jingles. All right.
6 years later.
I'm starting to get the hang of this shit.
I'm running the videos, the music.
I
got your jacket made for you.
I
know
appreciate
what I mean?
That.
So, Jenny, is there anything else that... Because we're saving our pick for last.
Yeah, it because it requires, there's a lot of like science involved. We have like
quadratic equation.
Yeah. Jenny has a, should I not tell them what you have? Oh, you have it right there. Do you want to show them what you're going to use later?
I'll show them one of my scientific props. It's a clipboard. I borrowed it from Angie. Thanks, Angie, for the use of your clipboard.
Hey, actually, you make a really good point. How about up at the top here, we thank, first of all, we have a team here at Torrance, Alyssa, Chris, Larry, and Larry.
Two Larrys!
No waiting.
Two Larrys.
Chris, and I might repeat myself tomorrow for those of you who will be joining us, but Chris was the person planning events here when Buffy the Vampire Slayer was being filmed.
They're destroyed.
He's got stories. I'm just saying, find him tomorrow night. He's got stories. And also Angie, who's over there. I see you, Angie.
Angie
and the whole team that Angie has brought in. Everyone here has been so incredible. So thank you. And then we are streaming to about 600 other people right now because of Kristen on the, great name, Kristen, on the camera. John Mark and Morgan in the back here. So it's just a lot of humans putting a lot of love into this space. So thank you, everyone. And Jenny, I don't know. Do you have any other things you want to say before we try to settle this fucking feud once and for all?
Only that I never entered a feud, to my knowledge, and I can't wait to greet my very best pod friends when they ascend to the stage.
Morgan, LaToya, are you here? Are you here with us? Can you please,
if you dare?
Come on up here.
Get a look at these friggin' outfits.
Wow. Do you know that this is the first fucking time that the four of us have ever been in a physical space together? Like, I had never. I know. It's wild. So, hi.
Oh, my God. Hi.
My chain wallet is caught on something.
Hello, okay, little Jenny. Hello, Justine Jr.
Little?
I'm sorry.
Rattle that wallet chain.
You just refer to me as the first words out of your mouth. We're referring to me as Justine Jr.
Incredible.
Well, feud. 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 Feud.
Sounds like the feud is with Kristen to me.
You watch yourself.
Also, I'm just going to go out and say that like some people were very afraid to chant feud. I was like, however, Alba was chanting so loud in the front row.
Alba.
I was like, feud, yeah. Well, welcome.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having us.
How are you feeling?
Oh, you know, not at all terrified. Super normal.
So,
thank you for inviting us into your jar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And your
corner. Thank you for entering my jar.
Pretty crowded in here with these two scents skittering around.
Skittering?
Wow.
You all picked a clip.
Mm-hmm.
I've set everybody up. You know, they know what to expect. Your clip is it's a short clip, and it is a very specific pick. So I don't know if you want to say anything about it before or if you'd prefer I just play it.
If you don't mind, Morgan, I just want to say, you know, over on Angel on Top, we really care about the classics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sophocles.
Absolutely.
The immortal bard, William Shakespeare. Sir mm-hmm. Kenneth Branagh.
Uh-huh.
I like how we kept them far apart from each other to, like, dilute their power.
Yeah, if we can feed off each other, it's way too dangerous. And if I may preface this clip, I just would like to say that you asked us this, and this was our immediate response.
Wow.
Like, it was so fast, the speed with which we got back to you with this option. It was unreal, really. So
okay, well, let's
share
hit it,
one brain cell.
Let's hit it, bitch.
Hit it, bitch.
O ruler of my country, Oedipus, you see our company around the altar. I'm the priest of Zeus.
Ha ha. They prophesied that I should kill my father, and he is dead and hidden deep in the soil. but surely I must fear my mother's bed.
Oh, Oedipus, Oedipus, unhappy Oedipus, that is all I can call you in all that I can wish.
Darkness, and horror of darkness, unfolding, restless, visitant, sped by an ill wind in haste. Madness, and madness, and stabbing pain, memory of ill deeds I have done.
So, do you need us to say anything in addition to that? I feel like it speaks for itself.
I have some questions.
All right.
Individually, what are your experiences personally with high school theater? Did you do it?
Remember, she's very judgy.
I'm just curious. I'm very curious.
Did I do it? I was president of drama club. Thank you.
Okay.
And my administration was a kind one and a thoughtful one, and we got shit done.
Were there any feuds during your reign?
I have none that I can disclose. I mean, none that I can talk about with you guys right now. But yeah, I mean, it got contentious sometimes. Wait. Absolutely. It wouldn't be high school theater if it didn't.
What was your favorite show in high school that you did?
I really liked when we did Into the Woods. I was one of the stepsisters. It was Florinda. She's the one who loses the toe, gang.
Latoya.
I don't know if you've noticed. I don't have theater kid energy. But I did take a drama class in high school, as well as a couple of drama classes in college. You know, Shakespeare, Stopford. Mm. Maybe you've heard of them?
No. Oh. Not me. I'm just lowly Justine Jr.
Okay, second question for each of you. Have either of you ever yourselves, or have you ever known anyone who accidentally, like because of a prophecy, accidentally and unknowingly had intimate relations with their mother?
Well, over on Angel on Top season 4...
We're experiencing something.
I just
rather
like,
difficult.
I was like, do I have a jingle for this? I don't think I even do.
Nobody should have a jingle for this.
You didn't ask for this.
Nobody ever does.
Jill.
There we go. Thank you, Jill. Screw you.
Jenny actually has a theory from the angel verse for you that can connect this. Even Jenny. In a way that doesn't make us all want to just vomit at
the table.
Yeah,
I don't want to gag in front of these nice people.
I don't think, anyway. I don't know. Jenny, do you want to say your theory?
Or
your
yes, whatever? But could you remind me very quietly what it is?
Please hold.
Wouldn't have happened on the Angel on Top live show.
Okay. Point.
I can't wait for this one.
Point. Angel was sired, or some might say created, by Darla, who then he most certainly engaged.
Well, Cordy's always saying Connor's just like his dad. She's
I thought it'd be more revelatory.
Yeah. No, this is the response I got when I compared Gwendolyn Post to Hermione, so.
Yeah. Now you know what it fucking feels like.
It doesn't feel good.
It's hard being right all the time. I understand, like, we all watch the scene and it's phenomenal, but I do want to hear just like a tiny bit about why you think that it was the first thing to come to both of you out of three, I mean, there's three seasons of moments in the high school.
Because we knew this is how we would feel.
Yeah, we planned in advance, you know, with our release schedule. But I also think, like, it's just, despite everything that has happened to these teens, they are still teens. And that is, to me, the most important part of Buffy. It's the idea that, like, even though they're fighting demons and they're, like, keeping the world from ending, they still have to do this dumb fucking play because the principal said. And, like, that Buffy, you can just see that she's, like, seething over the indignity. She's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I save all of your asses all the time and you don't even know about it and I have to read this stupid play. Fine. Oedipus, that is all you ever, like... Like, go off, queen, give us nothing.
Yeah. And Morgan and I will be performing that tomorrow.
Yeah, we will be doing it tomorrow for all of you.
Is Jill going to be the Willow?
If we can wrangle her,
I will hold you to that. You have a lot of people that just witnessed that promise.
Binding contract.
Yeah. It's been wild because, like, you know, we haven't been back in seasons 1, 2, or 3 in quite some time, and we did a journey through some of these episodes, and it is a totally different thing. It is a totally different thing. And even the way, like, Giles is responding to them in the audience, it's like, that Giles is no more, you know? Everyone is tired now.
So tired.
Everyone's really tired. They would not have fucking done Oedipus if it was season 7.
Maybe they should have.
They would have been like, yeah, there's a fucking dead monster on the stage. So, I don't know. It's Sunnydale. We need a beer, you know?
What I can't fathom is why they let Xander have so many lines. Like, he was never going to remember that. Like, when he's, like, pulling for that line, I'm like, how did we not all see this coming? Like, he should have had them written on his hand.
But when you think about the fact that Willow has massive stage fright and Buffy is like, I'm literally supposed to be saving the fucking world. Mm-hmm. Like, Xander might be your pick.
He's the only option.
He's the only one. Yeah.
That was the hardest he ever tried in high school.
You can really see the effort, which is something that goes away after a while.
Oh my God. He also put a lot of effort into swimming.
Yes. He tried really hard.
What a good effort he put in. A very good effort.
Are we all four of us straight women at this?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Four completely straight women. Are we all into Xander and a Speedo? Is everybody into it?
I'm positive. Yeah, I'll say it. I'm not a coward. He looked really good. Yeah.
LaToya? He wasn't speaking. It's okay.
Yeah.
4 out of 4 straight women agree. It cannot be denied. Mm-hmm. Now, go ahead. How do you all feel about Xander and Espedo?
Straight women,
okay,
everyone.
I was like, I heard more boos. You all got shamed out of booing. We're not yucking your yuck.
Yeah, I'm yumming your yuck. I love it.
love to yum a yuck.
I quit the podcast.
That's my line.
So is there? I think my last question, and maybe you have another question. No, you're good. Okay. Is there anything that either of us could do to mend, to sort of like bridge to get to? To seal the...
Well, you guys don't know. These two already put a hit out on me at the beginning of the night.
Yeah. The second LaToya gets here, there was a trap. I'm very
Kristen
afraid about what's going to
fall. Walked out
me.
Of the room conveniently, and then I just crashed and burned.
The floor is really slippery in the green room, but we didn't know until LaToya fell. They're not lying, except for the part that I did it. I did not do it.
I didn't do it, but like the power that I would harness if I could actually do that from outside of the room is kind of
impressive.
Hot,
yeah. You know?
Thank you.
I mean, evil people are hot.
So this.
Oh yeah, Lila Morgan, stand up.
Please.
So is that a no? There is nothing we can do.
I mean,
you got money. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got money. Yeah, how much money you have?
We have some cash, actually.
Ooh,
we can grease these wheels.
Okay.
Yeah, we can take care of this. I'll just get my duct tape wallet out of my pocket.
Yeah, would you mind? Look, the feud must always continue. It's really like the fire that allows me to.
What if, like, Jenny plays you beautiful music? Will that help?
No, that's not gonna help.
Hard no.
I can't imagine it hurting.
Morgan is wavering. What if I play Glockenspiel with Jenny? Playing?
Yes.
Oh, did it. We're only missing LaToya.
I did not agree to this, Morgan. God damn it.
Oh, no, never mind. The feud rages on forever.
You see now see the power of keeping them far apart.
All right, well, do you have anything else you'd like to say to these beautiful people before Jenny plays you a song to woo you into being not in a feud with us anymore?
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Thanks for not booing us out of the building.
Morgan and fucking LaToya, everyone.
Well, here we are again, back at our desk. I always feel like, especially with these mics, I feel like I'm like in breaking news.
Yeah.
All right, Jenny. Well, we should probably call somebody very important up here with us.
We should.
It just so happens that the human that like wrote this book is going to come up here next. Evan, how do you feel about it? Do you feel good about it? Do you want to come and join us? Are you feeling in the mood?
Evan Ross Kelly! Welcome.
Thank you, thank you.
Look at your sweater. Just look at it. It's very beautiful.
I just wanted to fit in, you know, and just not stand out at all.
Yeah, yeah. No, it blends.
Just blend, yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you, thank you. Yeah.
Definitely.
Low key.
Evan, congratulations
Thanks.
On your book.
Thanks, thank you.
I know this isn't really the point, but I started reading this book and it opens and Evan is talking about the musical Rent. Heard of it? And then, and I don't know, maybe this is a deep cut, but then you bring in Sarah Schulman, who wrote People in Trouble, which was sort of what Rent was kind of scooped from. If you don't know about it, whatever. And that was when I fell in love with you, Evan.
This is all moving so fast. Should I go?
Yeah.
No, we need
anyway,
you.
Anyway, I it's lovely to have you here. And you are not only very, very well-versed in Buffy, but I believe you are like a Sarah Michelle Gellar scholar? Is that the term?
I use the term historian, but I think scholar... No, scholar certainly works. I mean, it's okay. Of the same ilk.
Do you have a lot of scrolls?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of the text is kept on scrolls just to preserve it, you know? I think that's all about preserving her memory. And I mean, obviously begins with Buffy, but, you know, you have All My Children, Scooby-Doo, Cruel Intentions. There's a lot on those scrolls.
In case you doubted the historian scholar level.
And we can go deep cuts, like Simply Irresistible, you know, Harvard Man, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Evan, have you been here before? Have you been to Torrance?
I have not, and it was so surreal pulling up for all the obvious reasons, but no, never, but wow. Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Yeah, thank you, thank you.
We have kind of a lot to cover here, because we want to talk about your book, but we also want to play a clip. And yeah. you and Joanna both picked some meaty clips, okay?
Juicy.
So we're gonna get juicy. I hope everybody's buckled in. Are you ready to watch this clip with everybody?
Of course.
Do you want to set it up at all? Do you want to tell them what they're about to see?
All I want to say is that, you know, when choosing clips around the high school, there was one character that came to mind that for me sort of, you know, is embedded in the high school, and that was Faith. I thought we needed Faith.
You don't like to think about the future. You don't like to make plans. But unless you want Faith to gut your friend like a sea bass, you'll show a little respect for your elders.
You're not my elder. I got a lot of years on you.
Yeah, and that's just one of the things you're gonna have to deal with. You're immortal. She's not. It's not easy. I married my Edna May in '03, and I was with her right until the end. Not a pretty picture. Wrinkled and senile and cursing me for my youth. Wasn't our happiest time. And let's forget the fact that any moment of true happiness will turn you evil. I mean, come on, what kind of a life can you offer her? I don't see a lot of Sunday picnics in the offing. I see skulking in the shadows, hiding from the sun. She's a blossoming young girl. And you want to keep her from the life she should have until it's passed her by. And by God, I think that's a little selfish. Is that what you came back from hell for? Is that your greater purpose? Make the trade.
Mr. Mayor, I had no idea you were... I'm terribly sorry.
No, it's I who should apologize. I mean, coming down here at night, what must you be thinking? But you see, I just needed to... No, don't do that!
The perfect cut.
I love that you think of Sunnydale High and then you think Faith, because she doesn't even go here. But
it's
she's
true.
So powerful.
It's true, but she wills students out of class by merely showing up in windows. Oh. You know, it's a powerful thing.
She needs like a warning before recalling that moment.
Yes.
You know?
Such a scene cannot be just invoked willy-nilly.
Yes.
Oh, this is a good scene that you picked.
You know, I picked it because I felt like there are very few scenes where you get the full cast together to begin with, and then on top of that you add the mayor, and then you add Principal Snyder, and I feel like you get this meeting of all of the great characters in one room together and just all of the different dynamics. Even watching Oz just now interact with the mayor, just strangeness.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Also, the scene, like, because I rewatched the episode to talk to you about it, you know, and the scene right before this is when Oz knocks over the fucking urn because he's like, fuck you, we're saving Willow. Ah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, do I have your permission, since Faith is what conjured this scene for you, do I have your permission to play Faith's jingle? Is that...
Please.
She's from Boston, keeps it spot and doesn't need any frills. Seems like she's the only one who's taking care of herself. Don't call her loser, she's a bruiser with the power and skill. But the demons deep inside her are the hardest to kill. Faith!
Yay! Also, I know, okay, sorry. So, Jenny, go ahead, before you explode. Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, do we all feel like Principal Snyder wants to be eaten by the mayor a little bit? Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Watching that scene, I was like, he's kind of probably into it in that last...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now, Jenny, please, go ahead. Say a smart thing.
A kink that can only exist on the Hellmouth.
Mm. Yeah.
I really loved rewatching this episode and this scene because, man, it's so... Like, thank you. So incredibly special to see the mayor like give his speech, all these great reasons why, you know, Buffy and Angel have some thinking to do, and then he's so disgusted with them for not listening to reason that he's just like, make the trade.
Right.
Bless. That's all. I just love it. I actually like this show a lot, so I don't know, a lot of you don't know that about me.
Yeah.
But
no, and well two, chosen. Yeah, thank you. And two, I feel like in that moment, you can kind of watch Angel and David Boreanaz's performance and realize that the character is realizing that some of what the mayor is saying is starting to soak in, and then that leads us to the prom. And so I feel like a lot happens in this scene. And then also just, again, that dynamic between the mayor and Principal Snyder is just kind of, I don't want to say erotic, but there's just some sort of underlying tension.
Yeah, it's charged as hell.
Yeah, charged.
If you were going to say erotic, this would be the
great
place to say it. And also, I mean, and we all know this, we're all here because we know this, but it's just like the mayor was so delicious, I think, even at the top of the season, but like now when we're in here and he's like really starting to lose his shit, Harry Groner is so fucking good.
So good, and then coming off of Spike and Drusilla in season two, you're kind of like, okay, well, can we get another great big bad coming off of that? And I feel like they managed to.
They did it.
Adam, then, I don't know if we kept the momentum, but like we had a thing going.
You don't think that a demon that takes a floppy drive in the upper left quadrant
I don't know
of
about
his
him.
Chest? No? Didn't work for you, Evan?
Sorry.
All right, fine. Adam. You know, all I hear when I hear Adam is mummy. Let's talk about your book for a second.
Please.
We do that? Jenny has a particular segment that really meant a lot to her, so
you
I'm gonna...
talk to Mark Lucas.
She was like, oh my God, I can get Riley into the high school themed conversation. Let me at him.
I have a word highlighted. I hope you don't feel disrespected that I highlighted in your book, but it felt very important.
Yeah.
The word that I highlighted that you wrote in your amazing, beautiful book is Briley. I just want to verify that it is the only word highlighted on either one of those two pages.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
One little... This is so good. It's so much better than Ruffy. It's so weird and like tactile and kind of like abrasive. Mm. Which some would say feels appropriate for the pairing. Maybe not me, but like some people. Well, can we get an opinion there from you, Evan? Where do you fall on the Buffy? Where do you fall on the Briley? Scale?
More favorable about the relationship early on when his character was very different and a little bit more happy-go-lucky. I think when we moved into the season 5 territory, it was a little bit like, "What are you doing here?" But I kind of felt like after Primeval, I thought that we were kind of done. And then when he showed up in Buffy versus Dracula, I was like, oh, he's still gonna be around. And then episode 9 and episode 10, he's still there. But then that helicopter came and it was just like, bye.
Did you feel any better about him when he came back with a big scar on his face?
No. I recently rewatched that episode too, and I was like, you know, because I missed him, and having spoken to the actor, I was like excited to see the character again. But no.
But what about his wife, Sam? You like her?
Maybe if Sam had existed separate from Riley, I think we could have a conversation.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. What if Sam and Buffy were to have gotten together?
Well, hello.
Okay. That's what we're talking about.
Sam comes in, she's a customer at the Double Me Palace, sees Buffy, tells her, "You don't need to be working here." They run off, get married, happily ever after. Yeah, totally.
A perfect story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was like, don't we have a... I think I put it in the lesser used jingles. I might be able to pull
it
up.
Where it belongs.
You want to hear it? Is that what everybody wants?
All right.
It's the only jingle that I sing because she would never.
Yeah.
Jenny, did you have any more Briley? As I have a question for you as well, because you talk to like a fuck ton of people in this book. Like, listen, did you move in with Sarah Michelle Gellar?
We have a condo, now? And it's kind of just like, you know, we both sort of meet up there. Yeah. Kind of like a pied-a-terre for the two of us to share.
Beautiful. Congrats.
Thank you.
Okay, nobody asked me to play a jingle for a while. I lost the folder, so. Okay. But you talked to a lot of people, but when we spoke, like, off stage, you know, we were talking about that there were a couple of people that didn't talk to you, and you thought maybe the audience would like to hear a little bit about that?
Yes, so I had, the only no from the outset was David Boreanaz, and David Boreanaz's people were like, it is not happening, which I later learned through interviews in this book that there is a little bit of a perhaps one-sided feud between David Boreanaz and Nicholas Brendon.
Oh my God, just like between LaToya and Jenny.
Exactly.
What? All right. It's one-sided. Okay. Wow, which direction does it go? Are we not allowed to know?
It is Nicholas Brendon that has some very choice words for David Boreanaz, which you can read about in the book amongst many choice words that Nicholas Brendon has in general. He likes to talk. He really likes to talk. But then Allison and Michelle were two other interviews that I had confirmed for the book. I was obviously very excited to chat with Allison because I don't think she does a lot of talking about Buffy in the years since. And she hasn't done a lot of the public appearances with the rest of the cast. And then when the allegations came out against Joss, I think at that point Allison's team intervened and said, "We will not be talking." I went back to them, "Hey, can we have the conversation with some parameters around what we talk about?" And the answer was no. And so, yeah, this book includes 9 of the 12 original cast members, as well as many other ancillary. But I fucking wanted Allison.
Yeah.
And knowing she was sort of in my grasp, it will always feel a little incomplete. Just because there's so many questions I think we all have for Allison Hannigan about this show and just her time on it. But for now, she'll remain silent about her experience on the show.
Yeah.
Which is her decision.
It's almost like it's kind of a complicated time to be, you know, talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Totally.
In a podcast or in a book.
Yes. Yeah. And it's interesting to that point, there were a lot of interviews that sort of had a part two as a result. And it was interesting, there are several interviews that we conducted them, hunky-dory, everything was great. Allegations come out, I get a phone call, can we chat again? I'm ready to actually talk.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and that happened quite a bit.
Wow.
Danny Strong particularly had some stories that he was finally ready to speak about. And so I think that in many senses, amongst the much of the good that came with this, because there is good in all of this, it has given people some freedom to speak their truths.
That's fantastic. Yes. I mean, did you hear all of those gasps and everything? I've never heard any of them respond to anything like that. They're in. You should, if you didn't already, get this book. It's because it's really, I mean, I think it's a love letter also to the show, right? It's not, because there are a lot of things out there that are about Buffy or that are interviews or what have you, but I think that, like, you are so deeply enamored with the show. It's such a part of your being. And so you are in here, but then you also have them in there. And so it's just a gorgeous thing. So thank you for writing it.
Thank you. I felt like with all of the discussions that have happened about Buffy through the years, I felt like Sarah Michelle Gellar's performance on the show, and this is something that we all spoke about at length because both of them are featured in this book. And the lack of respect given, not by the both of you, but not by the fans, but just in general, to Sarah Michelle Gellar and this performance as Buffy. And so I thought one of the great things that a book like this allows space for is sort of the reframing to say, yes, this show was created by one man, but the heartbeat of this show is vis-a-vis this woman and this performance. And so I thought it was just a time to sort of reframe the narrative and celebrate Sarah Michelle Gellar. And so it literally, a lot of the celebrities featured in the book, unfortunately, some of them had not seen Buffy, but agreed to do interviews just because they wanted to praise Sarah Michelle Gellar. And I think that speaks to her and her character and her legacy.
Wow. Hell yes. Hell yes. Evan. Wait. Yes.
Sorry, just
her
one,
whole head was just like just eclipsed one, Evan's head.
Speaking of women and their legacies, I just want to thank you so much for making the decision to quote me in your wonderful book, saying the phrase, a spicy meatball.
Yes.
Thank you. What an honor.
Two legacies are celebrated in this book, at least.
It's literally the first quote. Like, I was like, Jenny, the first quote that you have in the book is you saying a spicy meatball.
Thank you. Thank you for saying it.
Evan, you'll be with us tomorrow night as well, yes.
I will indeed.
Well, is there anything you would like to impart with this ravenous audience of Buffy fans before you leave us?
I just want to say
you're
for anyone...
You're just full of it. Not full of shit. He's just, like, full of all of the information that anyone ever wanted about this show.
No, but, like, one question I keep getting is, it's like, is Bianca Lawson in this book?
Uh-huh.
And Bianca Lawson is in this book, and we get all of the Kendra gossip that was needed.
Did you have a favorite interview? Like, was there... I mean, Sarah. So we don't get to count Sarah.
I would say Seth Green was my favorite just because I'd always wanted to know why he didn't continue on with the show, and I finally got my answer. So that was one. And then Mark Blucas, which I dedicated a huge, much bigger than anticipated chunk of the book to because I felt like this man had a lot to say and had been suppressing it for some time, and I felt that he was ready to talk and I was ready to listen.
Bless. He's the nicest man.
So nice. Like, so nice.
Just so incredibly nice. We've gotten so many emails from people who are like, I saw Mark Blucas and he was just across the street. And then I talked to him and then he like sent me a picture of, like, he's just so, just a good man.
A good man set up for failure.
I know. It's really like, we love you, Mark. He knows that, right?
Yeah.
Well, we also love you, Evan.
Yes, I love you both.
Thank you for being here. This was like a kismet thing of like truly. And I was saying that I was like, well, maybe it wasn't totally kismet because the anniversary, but you didn't even
I had no
plan
idea.
The book around the anniversary. Could you?
I know.
But you'd think. It's magic.
In retrospect, I planned it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it all kind of came together, and I'm just so glad that you could be here with us. It's very special.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Into every generation, a slayer is born, how Buffy staked our hearts, is the book by Evan Ross Cass. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
How's everybody doing out there? How are you? Great. So glad to hear it. I mean, we're saving what we have to last, and I can't wait another freaking second to get Joanna Robinson up here. What about you?
Joanna!
Joanna!
Oh,
Joanna!
Here she is. It's fucking Joanna Robinson.
Hooray! At last, Joanna Robinson has come back to Buffering the Vampire Slayer.
Hi.
Joanna, hold my hand.
What? What the fuck?
Joanna, hold my hand with your other hand.
Okay.
This is good. No!
Kristen.
And that is how lesbians have sex. So, one of you got way too excited about that joke. Actually, just excited enough. I'm so sorry. Joanna.
Kristen.
I just can't.
Joanna.
Jenny. We're just really happy that you're here.
I'm delighted to be here. Your lipstick still looks great.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. I put my lipstick all the way deep down in my Jenko pockets, and I was like, Joanna, you're the last guest coming up, so if my lipstick looks bad, you have to reach into the pocket for me.
She's like, you gotta root around in the back pocket for the lipstick. No rooting required.
Yeah, we're good. Welcome to Sunnydale High School.
Thanks. Charmed. Please. I've never been here.
This never been here either.
True joy for me.
What was it like? What did you have a moment to, like when you first walked in?
Well, as you know, because you texted me anxiously being like, bitch, where are you? We were running a little late and I was driving and so I spotted it and I literally shrieked out, that was it. That was Sunnydale High School. Oh my God. And we had to, UE and figure it out. But it was delightful.
Yeah.
Never have I been so thrilled to reach my destination.
It's very overwhelming. There's a lot of memories here. And I know they technically weren't ours in real time, but it feels like they were our memories, you know?
Yeah. Oh, something I like to talk about, less so as time wears on because it dates me, but that I was the same age as Buffy when Buffy was airing. And so it was just very important and personal to me. Yeah. Also, I'm really glad you brought me up here because I feel like your show really needed some heterosexual representation. So,
at last, Joanna, I mean, everyone.
It's an underserved demographic, obviously. And I'm just
so Joanna, how do you feel about Xander in a Speedo?
Yeah, no, we're gonna talk about that. I cannot access how I felt as a teenager because when I watch it now, I am not popcorn gifing watching Xander walk out. I'm like, oh, Xander. Yeah.
That would be Xander's jingle.
Oh, Xander. Xander.
And then later seasons, it's just like, not again, Xander. Yeah. Cut it out. Yes, I'm glad that you could weigh in as a heterosexual person.
Listen, we've been silent for too long.
Anyone else? Is anyone else here heterosexual?
Yeah, all right.
Five to six people. Incredible.
Yeah.
I feel so blessed
right now.
And honestly, sitting in this room, those five to six people are unsure if they are still heterosexual.
It's a slippery slope, Buffering Cast. Slippery slope.
I always say, you know, people who are like, I don't know, the gays, they're going to turn the other people gays. Everybody's like, that's ridiculous. And I'm like, no.
Unless
you are correct. Watch the fuck out.
Kristen's like, do you want to know my gay agenda? I wrote a book.
Oh, Joanna, yeah. you picked a clip.
Okay, so as a representative
of the straight, of the heterosexual community, yes.
I thought that I would bring you a clip that really showed how non-toxic and just like really healthy the heteros are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, heteros, nothing.
The straights, they're okay.
They are totally.
Yeah.
They're totally okay. So let's.
A person doesn't just wake up and stop loving somebody. Love is forever. I'm not afraid to use it, I swear. If I can't be with you.
Oh my God. Don't walk away from me,
bitch! Stop it! Stop it! Don't wake me!
All right, just...
You know you don't want to do this. That's both. Just calm down. Now give me the gun.
Don't. Don't do that, damn it!
Don't talk to me like I'm so stupid!
Yeah, that was super
yeah,
healthy.
Through the decades, we're fine, obviously.
Over and over and over again. Uh-huh, totally fine.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
When you asked me what clip I wanted to use, first of all, Jenny, I'm really sorry that we didn't have a trigger warning for a sousaphone. Are you okay?
I'm okay.
The band room?
I'm all right.
Okay.
I'm all right.
When you first asked me what clip, I came back to you immediately with this.
Yeah.
I heard Evan also suggested this episode as well, so we were in like a nice fight maybe over this. No.
So many feuds on this stage, and it's just endless feuds.
But I'm really glad Spiderbox made it up here. But it was this or it was School Hard, and it was like, and School Hard didn't make the rotation, so I feel like we could talk about it for a second. This is our Spike intro, our like, I smell the blood of a nice, ripe girl.
Spike's accent 1.0.
Uh-huh. And you're like, Sheffield? I don't know. What are we doing? By way of the East End? I'm not sure, James, but I'm excited you're here. Yeah, so School Hard, incredible. But I don't know. I just thought of that, like, them out on the balcony. It's a whole thing. And then Kristen's like, well, okay, listen, we want to pick a short clip. Can you tell me, like, what the time range? I was like, no, you decide. And she's like, well, we're going to do the whole thing, because that way we get to watch Buffy call Angel bitch.
I couldn't let it go. I was like, we have to see it. It's my favorite thing in the fucking world.
And then
world.
We also get a classic Sarah Michelle Gellar, Angel? at the end of it.
And like a spectrum of snarl, because we're like at the far end on season 7, but this is like the beginning snarl, you know?
Yeah, it's this is a really interesting episode. I only have eyes for you. It's the meat of a really sort of dubious Buffy sandwich that is killed by death and the aforementioned Xander Nespeto fish boy episode. So this like walled off by those things. This episode looks great. Also, shout out to Mara Salinger, the great Natty Gann, future Mrs. Patton Oswalt in this episode. But yeah, here's, you didn't ask me, but I'm monologuing. Here's
Joanna, we want to hear what you have to say.
Well, here's why this episode's so important. We're in season 2. Imagine you are, I know, it's going to be hard. Imagine you're a straight teenager, right?
A lot of them were.
We
straight
were
teenagers.
Okay, remember? Okay.
We were imagining that very
once
thing.
Upon a time.
We were trying so hard.
And like, you're watching the show for the quips, and you're watching it for Sarah's great performance, and you're watching all this, but then like also sometimes you just want to watch Angel and Buffy kiss, and we're in a bad stretch where just 2 episodes ago he like killed Jenny Calendar. We're not in a good space with Angel, so they're like, how? I know, I'm sorry.
Did you see the window?
It upset me.
It's upsetting.
It upset me.
The first time we came here, there was just a kid doing his homework on the ground. And I was like, do you even know what happened here?
You didn't.
Did you tell him?
No. It seemed too depressing.
Listen, literal child, let me tell you a story.
Once there was a techno pagan.
That's not where she dangled it from. But yeah, so they cooked up this great scheme to let Buffy and Angel kiss whilst being possessed, like you do, by some star-crossed lovers of an inappropriate relationship from the 1950s. So,
I mean, it was a good fucking kiss.
And like, you know, remember when Angel went over the side, but he's not dead because he's a vampire, and then he was able to heal the trauma loop that these ghosts were on?
Why not?
Also, like, I would have just, it was really hard to not just play these whole episodes because immediately after this scene, Angelus is just like at his mansion, just like showering. He's like scrubbing the love off of his body.
Yeah. Jenny.
Something that I've never noticed before until I watched this scene on an enormous screen behind me. You all know Clotta Rings because you've watched the show, of course. Little hands, little heart, and when you're dating somebody and they give you one, you put it so the heart goes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Evil Angelus isn't just wearing eyeliner now, he also is still wearing the Clotta Ring, but the heart is out. He is seeking. He is on the prowl.
Single and ready to mingle.
Yes. And letting people know with his Clotta Ring, even though he's evil.
My feeling is.
But like where?
No, that is evil. My feeling is he did that just to mess with Spike. He's like, how's your girl?
And perhaps to mess with Buffy too, if they ever should run into each other and get a good look at each other's fingers.
Do you think he would just like mess with his hair? Yeah. Like, sort of like, make sure the points are pointy. And the Clotta Ring just sort of flashes the light.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, do you think that Angel has like a little ring dish when he washes the dishes or anything?
Do you think Angel's done a dish in his life?
He probably washes his blood glasses.
Mm-mm. No, I think he just breaks them?
I think it breaks them in the fireplace.
Okay, no, you're right.
It's like,
you're
opa, right. You know. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My God. I'm sorry. I'm just overwhelmed by your presence. I'm just very happy to have you here. Were you ever in band?
No, absolutely not. Only nerds are in band.
What did you play?
No, I was drama kid.
You were a drama kid.
Yeah.
Jenny, you are outnumbered. You know what's so fucking funny about her being like, do theater? Is out of every person who's been on this stage, you are the most dramatic.
I don't know, Kristen.
No.
Wait.
Have you met you?
I have. Wait, just wait till the end of the evening. Make your judgment then. Okay? So you were a theater kid.
Yeah.
Did you ever win any trophies?
Theater trophies? Yeah, like a speech competition count.
See? Yes, it does. Do you still have it?
No.
Do you remember what you, like, what is a speech competition?
What is it? You get up there like a really cool kid and you recite a long Alfred Lord Tennyson poem. And you get a blue ribbon for your troubles if you stay in meter and, you know, you are passionate.
Did you have a varsity jacket for that too?
No, I went to a we didn't do varsity at my school. We didn't have a football team, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like, I need an anti-patriarchy jingle for that.
I don't have that. No, don't worry. We had lacrosse, okay. So we were covered. That's fine.
Joanna, are you going to be at prom tomorrow?
I am definitely going to be at prom tomorrow.
What is your style of dress? Are you going formal? Are you going cosplay? Are you going some kind of mix?
It's like, ¿por qué no los dos? Like, both together.
Yes.
It is a... Yeah. I'm excited to see what everyone's going to be wearing. All of you are going to be there. I'm really excited. Kristen has already claimed one dance with me, but I am excited to see like, the rest of you guys.
Joanna, can I claim a dance with you?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, well, I have one more thing that I would love for you to do for us if you feel so inclined, which is you did pick a scene with Angelus, and Angelus is known for his incredible accent, and... I just was wondering, maybe what Angel was saying when he flipped his clotter ring around. I don't know, you know, like, whatever feels right to you. But if you... Jenny.
Please. I don't know, when Jenny bears her forearm at me, how can I say no?
That's what I'm saying, I'm not even wearing the jacket anymore.
you know, I'm Liam, and I'm here to break your heart. Just like my heart was broken many decades ago. Yeah. I mean, my accent work is poor, but I feel like it's right on par with David, right?
I just like how you you dive in by saying I'm Liam. You know what I mean? Like that's how you like
get
into
the character. Yeah, you gotta get into the accent. Yeah.
Are you? I don't know if I know this, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but you know, over at Angel on Top, we have a kind of a long argument going about
a feud. I heard.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in the feud, but like we have some disagreements about Angel and Buffy, Spike and Buffy.
Oh. Okay, all the relationships are bad. and they should feel bad. That being said, my heart belongs to Spike, obviously.
I knew your heart did, but I was just making sure that you also thought Buffy and Spike were...
Well, it's funny. So, Diana, who drove down with me today, we drove down from the Bay Area, so it was like 6 hours in the car, and then we're here, and I was like, hi. she was asking me, she's like, did Buffy and Angel wind up together? I was like, well, it's complicated, because Buffy is cookie dough, just not done making yet.
No.
And yet, yes.
And yet, incredibly, yes. Joanna.
Thank you. What a joy and a delight. Aren't they amazing?
How dare you? Is not Joanna Robinson incredible?
The best. The absolute best.
I'm going to leave now. Thank you.
We love you. You know, if there wasn't a Joanna Robinson, there wouldn't be a Buffering the Vampire Slayer.
It's really true. Do you want to elaborate on that?
She makes podcasts. I was listening to them. They're really good. I was like, I want to do that. And then I harassed Kristen until she said, okay.
And then I was like, you love Joanna Robinson. You may have heard this story before, but I was like, you love Joanna Robinson. We should like DM her on Twitter and ask her if she wants to be on the pod. And Jenny was like, never. And then I did it, and Joanna was like, hell yeah. And like, listen, can I get real for a second?
Please do.
Because Joanna Robinson is a key part of the origin story, but also, you know, Jenny and I have been through, I don't know if you've heard, but we've been through a couple of things in the last 6 years. And like, Joanna Robinson was there in season 4 when we were trying to work through so much hard stuff and like see her little face just like beaming from over there. But like, you know, Joanna just like helped us, you know, she really was such a bridge in a difficult time. So Joanna, we love you. So just,
thanks Joanna.
Okay, Jenny, we have to prepare for the big moment. Are you getting prepared over there?
Oh yeah, I'm getting prepared.
Okay.
Are you getting prepared?
Yeah, kind of.
No, them. I was asking them. Oh. It's not all about you, Kristen. All right, we just have a little finagling to do, so don't panic.
Ah, my cue. Yes, this is Kristen, future Kristen, speaking as the voice of God. Just to let you know that we're about to roll into the PowerPoint presentation. This is your cue if you are not driving a car or otherwise occupied. Click that link. You can watch along with us. You can click the slides through with us. If you're not watching, let me just tell you, you're going to hear people laugh. You're going to be able to hear people scream. You're going to hear people kind of go wild. The very first slide of this presentation states a fact, which will prove by the end, Faith and Buffy had sex. It elaborates. Buffy and Faith absolutely, entirely had sex on February 9th, 1999, somewhere in the town of Sunnydale, California, probably the motel, and it was great, and they loved it, and they want to do it again. The rest you'll be able to infer. So without further ado, let's get back to the show.
Well, dear friends, we're here, and we're queer, and we have some very scientific findings to report to you. We have something to talk about that we've talked about before, and I'm sure we'll talk about again, but never before have we had a PowerPoint presentation to go along with it. What we would like to use the scientific method to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt to you this evening is that heard of it, and not only just that, but in greater detail, every phone in the audience came out. I'll link this entire PowerPoint somewhere for you all.
It's very important.
All right, Jenny.
Wait, listen. Jenny, where's your clipboard?
It's right here. Oh, don't worry. Jesus. I have eyes on my clipboard. This scientific presentation brought to you by Jenny Owen Youngs and Kristen Russo, 1080 PhDs. First of all, what you need to know, the price of entry. Buffy is a vampire slayer. So is Faith. No other vampire slayers, just these two. Okay? Here they are, there's Buffy. There's Faith. They're the only two slayers alive. And now, for the lead up. The events taking place prior to the other events.
I just want everyone to know that earlier today in the hotel room, Jenny and I were just doing this by ourselves, and she did that magnifying glass over her eye every time, just to me. Just for
it's
me.
It's the only way to get to the truth, Kristen. So, what happened? Well, it's early February 1999, if you can recall a date so distant in the past through the fog of intervening years. We're in a graveyard in Sunnydale, of course. Where else would we be? And what? Buffy and Faith are underneath two vamps. Let us show you. Whoopsie daisy, their legs are up in the air. A harbinger of things to come? They're not just working, they're also chatting. Buffy says, I've never done it with Xander. We are just friends. And Faith counters, what are friends for? If not, the unspoken implication, for banging. They're stakes. As we mentioned, they are vampire slayers. They continue to chat, and Faith says, tell me you don't get off on this. And Buffy says, it didn't suck. You see what I'm saying?
You are literally running through the beam of my...
Okay. Well, get a more powerful beam, Kristen. We need to get to the bottom of this. Then what happens? Well, we have to take a look at the hours in question. Probably the most important part of this PowerPoint presentation. We begin in science class at this very high school. Can you believe it? The power, the passion, the danger. The goggles and Erlenmeyer flasks. Incredible. This happened here.
It's incredible.
Okay.
I know.
Okay, so these students, these science students have 1 hour to complete their test. One solitary hour. Now, what does this tell us? It's gotta be 1, maybe 2 p.m. Pacific at the absolute latest, because high school gets out in the afternoon. My high school got out at 2:15. I'm sure there's some wiggle room in this area. You know?
Did you say wiggle room?
Yes, I did. Here she comes. Here comes trouble. Rap, rap, rapping at the laboratory window. It's Faith. Faith? After the teacher leaves so these students can take a honor system test?
Sure.
Faith opens up this window and says, hey, girlfriend, bad time? We very quickly learn that it is actually the best possible time. Because Buffy climbs out that very window you see in this GIF or GIF.
GIF.
And they leave campus together. Faith wants Buffy to go to a vamp nest so they can slay some vamps. They're on foot. They're gonna travel to this vampire nest on foot. Now, how big can Sunnydale be? Sources say not big. In season 1, episode 1, welcome to the Hellmouth, Cordelia Chase, pod favorite, says, oh, where, you ask, is the bad part of town? Why, it's a half a block from the good part of town, making this town at maximum 2 blocks wide. But let's be generous. Let's give them an hour. Right?
Yeah.
Take a long, easy stroll. As you can see from this scale, the evidence is irrefutable that maybe they get to the it's irrefutable that maybe they get to the vamp nest. At 3 p.m. Pacific. Then what happens?
I don't know. Oh, this happens, Jenny.
These girls, my favorites, show up to a crypt, kick the frigging door in, because they can, and then they whip their stakes out.
in unison.
At the same time.
At the same time, my good people. Okay. There's actually an important clue, other than this just being a golden moment in television history that I would watch on an eternal loop. There's an important clue in this GIF or JIF. Kristen, do you know what it is?
I have an idea, Jenny.
Yeah, well, we made the presentation together, so it makes sense that you would have an idea, but look! Look at this sunlight! It looks even more sunny through my magnifying glass, actually. And this is important, because I did a little research, you know? And it turns out that the sun set in Santa Barbara, which we all know is IRL Sunnydale, at 5:36 p.m. And that sunlight that we just saw, Kristen, show it to me again. That's not the sunlight of a sunset. It is broad frigging day.
You could get a tan in that sun.
Angel can't. Spike can't. Drusilla can't. Darla can't. Okay, but Faith and Buffy could. I don't think that's what they're going to be getting up to in this presentation, but they could. The point is, it's friggin' early. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's wicked early.
Hard cut from this scene to what, Kristen? If only, these are so, Kristen found these beautiful icons and they're so realistic. But if only we could see what the real situation looked like. Oh wait, we can!
I think it looks the same.
GIF technology, yeah, it's the same photo.
Yeah.
I beg of thee, dear audience, look at these women. Look at what is involved in this dancing. Grinding, thrusting, a hair toss. When you toss your own hair while you're dancing, it's not 5 p.m. in the afternoon. It's not 6 or 7, it is at bare fucking minimum 8 p.m., but my friends, it's not. You know, it's later. But let's just be generous, okay, and say that maybe it's 8 p.m. We have a 5-hour window, people. We've got to fill that window with something, don't we? What happened? What could they have done to pass the time? We know they didn't go to the sporting goods store because later, when they're staking out Balthazar's lair, Faith is surprised and delighted to see a sporting goods store. So that is definitely not what they got up to. Perhaps they were hungry. We all know, it's been well documented, that slaying makes slayers two things. And one of them is hungry. Okay, so let's consider the options, right? Maybe. This is not intended to bait you, actually, but well done, Kristen. Maybe they had a muffin at the espresso pump on State Street. What do you think, Kristen?
I think that would take about 20 minutes tops, Jenny. This muffin looks like it came out of a plastic wrapper, so maybe a couple minutes to unwrap it. Maybe they shared it, you know?
It's possible.
Maybe they talked about how much they love blueberries. 20 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, that's not enough time. Maybe they wanted some ribs. But unlikely, because again, later in the episode, Faith suggests that they get ribs. And even Faith, I don't think, eats two sets of ribs in a 24-hour period. You know? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if anyone could do it, it would be her, but I agree. 60 minutes at most.
Okay. Now, what if they just decide they're feeling very powerful, they've slayed a lot of vamps, mm-hmm. Kristen?
Mm-hmm. What if?
I'm
observing.
So this is a cake, and that's an ice cream cone.
Uh-huh.
A pickle.
Uh-huh.
A piece of cheese, and some salami.
The five food groups, all represented here. But even if Faith and Buffy balled out and had a five-course lunch, how long could it take?
Absolutely no longer than 2 hours. 120 minutes at most.
Which would still leave a gaping void of 3 hours. Good, good, good. What did they do? Kristen?
Well, maybe like some of...
Just like a little bit, of like,
oh, okay,
some of that, or maybe like
sure. The pixels, the pixels on Jenny and Marina.
It's she's like Jenny.
She is.
I'm so sorry. I'm pixelated.
Definitely. Maybe.
Maybe they had some fucking Totinos.
Yeah.
Okay?
Maybe they chased their 5-course lunch with some Totinos. Pizza snacks. We think you know what they did. We think you know. And here.
What did they do?
Well, there they are.
Well, we're wearing lab coats. You have a magnifying glass.
I do, actually.
We've done research. We've done math.
Yes.
And I think that we have proved once and for all that Buffy and Faith absolutely entirely had sex on February 9th, 1999, somewhere in the town of Sunnydale, California, probably the motel, and it was great, and they loved it, and they want to fucking do it again.
Okay. Yes. Do you believe us? Okay. All right.
High five. Let me put my microphone and my magnifying. Okay.
Oh, are we supposed to freeze frame like they do? We did it.
Wow. You thought you were coming to just a chill podcast.
But then we made a PowerPoint presentation.
Now, remember when I was like, so Jenny's a little dramatic. I mean, a couple of points, right? I get a couple of points.
I don't know what you mean.
I know I'm like resting position dramatic, but...
That's true.
But it's like when Jenny gets going, you know, it reaches higher levels than I could ever hope to reach. We, when you came in here tonight, you got a little card. Now's the time, yeah. It's okay.
Deploy the card.
Take your time. I'm gonna move these chairs back. You can all get your card. Okay, so I have a couple of, you might recognize these. They're graduation caps. They say 2022 on them, which is this year, and it's also the year of season 7 for us, and it's the year of season 7. Well, it's okay. It's gonna be okay. Well, we have two very wonderful humans who have not been up on the stage with us yet, who are a massive part of the buffering experience. And we want them to come up here with us. I know I can't get the graduation cap on my head. I don't know who can, but we're going to do our best. Alba. Woo! Mac.
Hooray.
Forever. Hi. Come on, come over here to the mic.
Hello, hi.
Hello.
We were hoping that you might take a graduation cap.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. And we were hoping that you might sing the alma mater of Sunnydale High School with us at Sunnydale High School.
Absolutely.
Jenny, you're in charge.
In charge. We're reading the lyrics. Here. Oh, the house lights. Could we? Could we have the house lights? That would be such a treat for us. Thank you, Larry.
Under banners gold and burgundy, with values strong and bright, of your virtue and your glory, we will sing with all our might. Till the earth swallows the city walls, you will have our loyalty. Sunnydale, we love thee. As we walk your steps echoing, is it our imagination or is someone following? There have been werewolves and vampires, so many supernatural pests, but Sunnydale, oh Sunnydale, you're the best. All hail the Razorbacks, Godspeed you on your way. Try not to die on the path to victory. Remember those who came before, we'll never see them anymore. To those who fought the greatest fight, to your class of 99. From the locals to Hyena Pit, to the peak of Kingman's Bluff, we may not live to graduate, but at least you've raised us tough. You taught us life's worth lesson. It's hard to stay alive, but Sunnydale, oh Sunnydale, only the strong survive.
Did live to graduate.
I just cannot, there are no words that could possibly ever express how much both of you have done over the last couple of years. And to be here in Sunnydale High School with both of you, we've never gotten to hug Alba ever. Yeah. Alba and I, when we first met each other, I was like, I thought you were shorter. And she was like, I thought you were taller. It is just a joy to have you, so thank you for being here. And hey, do you want to know who's DJing tomorrow night? Alba, do you want to tell them your DJ name? I should tell them? Okay, Alba texted Jenny and I and was like, okay, so serious. So my DJ name is DJ Salty Spice 93. Thank you both so much. We love you. Fuck yes.
Well, well, well.
Well, well, well. I don't really have like that much more to say. That was the end of the show. But I just wanted to like take a moment with you, Jenny, you know? Just a moment. To be here in the space together.
Yes.
And to say thank you fucking so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
You are so important to us in our lives. And getting to be in the place where the show was made, a show that like sits in our hearts very deeply and like has carried so many people in this room through very difficult times and very beautiful times, is very powerful. And we are very excited to, you know, be making this podcast. You've given us a very big gift. So thank you so much. And thank you for being here tonight.
Yeah, hell yeah.
All right. Would you like to...
Oh, do the thing?
Yeah, we should probably do the thing.
Well, yeah. It's been an honor and a privilege.
The thing is howl out, okay? What if they didn't know?
They know.
Wait, I want to put my jacket on.
All right.
Jenny. Okay. Everybody ready?
Beautiful friends, Till next time.
Out.